As we get closer to the anniversary of the armistice on November the 11th, most of our national attention is on the end of the great conflict, the First World War, the Great War, the war to end all wars. But for my family, the end came actually in the last days of September, as my grandfather led an attack on the Hindenburg Line, the great German defences on the Western Front. Grandfather Foster, Frederick William, was already in his 40s when he joined up in November 1914, as his wife Minnie gave birth to their youngest daughter, Nancy, my mum. He'd waited until mother and daughter were safely delivered on November the 2nd, when he arrived at the hospital in his uniform. What are you wearing your uniform for? I'm joining up. Well, they won't want you. You're far too old. Anyway, it'll all be over by Christmas. No, it won't. And they're going to need everybody. He was right. As a veteran of the Boer War, Grandfather Foster was very useful in the training camps, and he spent much of 1915 training troops. On my mum Nancy's first birthday, he sent her a brooch from the Royal Warwickshires, his regiment, and a letter poignant for the things it didn't say, like, "I may never come back," as much as for what it did say. When you grow up, you may like to wear this brooch, and perhaps you'll find your own soldier boy to be special in your life. In 1916, as a captain in the front line, he led a nighttime trench raid during the Battle of the Somme. The aims, written in the instructions, were to 1. Kill Germans, 2. Find out information, 3. Take prisoners. He was awarded the Military Cross and in the following year was wounded and mentioned in dispatches. As the war progressed, Frederick William rose to the rank of Lieutenant Colonel in charge of his battalion, and he wrote the daily war diaries for his sector. His signature is there in the diaries in the record office at Kew. In 1918, with manpower getting shorter, regiments were amalgamated, and it was as commander of the Gloucesters that he was responsible for what probably was his biggest triumph of the war, the attack on the Hindenburg Line. Reading the instructions and the diary from September the 29th, 1918, I'm reminded of the huge logistical efforts being made by the British Army in those days. This British Army that had been through hell for 4 years and were emerging as a successful, motivated fighting force. That morning, it was misty. This, of course, would help the attackers. There were new American forces to one side, and the Gloucesters were there in the third wave, ready to push through the formidable defences that had never been breached. You can imagine the feelings of the men as they put their bayonets onto their rifles and looked up to see calmly walking along the top of the trench, speaking reassuringly to his men, their commander, my granddad. This had a phenomenal effect on those soldiers. If our commander would dare risk his life like this, it gave them confidence. Shortly after sunup, the attack began. Lieutenant Colonel Foster, with his adjutant, Dougie Howarth, beside him, advanced with his men. Overhead, the shells shrieked, and the Germans replied with their own artillery. And a shell landed, smack between the commander and his batman, and exploded. Both men were blown off their feet. And for them, their war was over by 8 o'clock in the morning. Stretcher bearers rushed to pick the men up, and another officer became the commander. Howarth was taken to a forward dressing station where his mangled leg was amputated. Grandfather Foster was treated differently as a commander in charge of his battalion. He was taken quickly by train to the coast and then by boat to Blighty and on by train to Birmingham, where he received the very best care. They patched him up and sent a telegram to Minnie, his wife, who rushed out to tell her friends that Will was home, safely wounded. On my wall is a letter from the Minister of War, Winston Churchill, commending him for his bravery, and to say that Field Marshal Haig had mentioned him in dispatches. The war rolled on for another 6 weeks. The armistice came, the Rhineland was occupied, and the war wounded were sent home, patched up to recuperate. Within 2 months, he was patched up and ready to be sent back to lead the army of occupation of the Rhineland. Howarth, meanwhile, was discharged, unfit for further duty, and paid £100 compensation for the loss of a leg and £50 for three fingers. It was some years later, when the family were living in Bexley in Kent, that Grandfather Foster was walking down Oxford Street and came face to face with his best friend, the adjutant, Dougie Howarth, walking with a crutch. "I thought you were dead," both men exclaimed together, and there's this extraordinary embrace in the middle of Oxford Street with the buses and taxis going past and shoppers hurrying past, seeing these two men animated and just so excited to see each other. "You must come home and meet the family." And so he did. And my mum tells this story of how she would say to Mr. Howarth, "Will you show us, please, how you keep your socks up?" And he would roll up the turnips of his trousers to show the wooden leg and the socks with drawing pins in them to keep them up. And she would squabble with her sister, big sister Margaret, to try and get to sit on Mr. Howarth's soft knee, the one that was still a real knee. So although he was wounded early on the 29th of September, by 2:30 that afternoon, his troops had achieved their objectives. They'd broken through the Hindenburg line, and the German command had begun to look for ways of ending a war they knew they could never win. That was the day that started the victory. And that's the special day for my family in the First World War.